Ties with a key American ally under strain, raising questions about how to confront a rising China. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio. A reportedly rocky call between President Trump and Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull turned on an agreement made with President Obama for America to take in asylum seekers rejected by Australia. Trump later called this a dumb deal on Twitter. There are major business and trade implications of America's relationship with Australia, which we can explore with Andrew Walker, BBC's economics correspondent. Andrew, Australia is traditionally a close ally with the U.S., but also has a growing relationship with China. Now that America is stepping back from the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal, could we see tighter ties between Australia and China?
Well, there certainly is some possibility there. I mean, Australia is a big producer of raw materials that China uses extensively in its industry. So there's no question that that relationship is going to continue to be very important. With the United States pulling out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, that does put a lot more weight onto an alternative regional integration program that's underway called the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, which does include both China and Australia. I do think that that relationship is likely to develop. Having said that, don't forget, Australia already has a free trade agreement with the United States. So that commercial relationship, I think, will survive very well.
So when we have a situation where Australia's prime minister saying recently China could replace the U.S. in the TPP, or China's president defending trade at Davos, what does all this tell us about China's ambitions to drive the conversation on global trade issues?
China is certainly very keen to pursue further globalization. The Chinese economy has grown on the strength of exports for three decades, selling stuff abroad to the United States, to Australia, I suppose, and anywhere else that'll buy the stuff is going to remain very important for China. So yes, no surprise at all that the Chinese leadership does want to pursue further global economic integration.
Okay, the BBC's Andrew Walker. Thanks very much.
My pleasure, Mark.
The jobs report out tomorrow will cover the closing days of the Obama administration. Trump promises to bring back manufacturing jobs lost to overseas competition, but it may be some time before it's clear whether that's having an impact. From Marketplace's Bureau at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman reports.
It's become familiar since the election. President Trump calling out a company on Twitter or in a speech, Toyota, Carrier, General Motors, for allegedly shipping U.S. jobs to cheaper labor countries. Or praising a company and taking credit when it keeps manufacturing jobs here. Bob Smith is a union electrician and president of the Steelworkers Local in Messina, New York, and he welcomes the president's personal intervention.
It's about time. It's about damn time.
Messina's home to one of Alcoa's last aluminum smelters in the U.S. Smith has seen the company cut hundreds of well-paid factory jobs in the past decade as cheap Chinese aluminum flooded the market. He's a Democrat, but praises Trump's tactics on trade and jobs.
The first time in a long time with this talk, and it's quite frankly it's talk right now. However, if that gets turned into action, I know there's some optimism that we haven't seen in a while.
But how will we know if presidential talk actually leads to more jobs?
Probably at least a six-month period to really glean whether or not there's a trend.
Greg McBride at Bankrate.com says by then we might see an impact from the president's company-by-company pressure tactics.
There's a sense that, you know, companies want to stay in the good graces of the new administration.
But labor economist Aparna Mathur at the American Enterprise Institute says any Trump effect will be hard to verify in the official employment data. She says the number of extra jobs that might result from Trump tweets is statistically insignificant compared to the overall monthly churn in job numbers that can run into the hundreds of thousands.
We've seen a lot of threats, and we've seen him tweeting at companies and talking about job creation, but it's hard to imagine that companies have fundamentally changed the way they operate as a result.
What could move the dial, she says, is economic policies the Trump administration and Congress might implement in coming months, like tax cuts, tariff and trade restrictions, and infrastructure spending. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are somewhat mixed in global trading. In the UK, shares are up 0.3%. In Germany, stocks down 0.1%. And Asian markets closed mostly lower. Flint, Michigan residents are suing the Environmental Protection Agency for allegedly mishandling the massive lead contamination in city drinking water. This comes as the Trump administration promises to limit the EPA's regulatory power. Marketplace's Jed Kim reports on what a weaker EPA might mean for drinking water.
Among President Trump's executive orders is a requirement that agencies like the EPA remove two rules for every new one it adopts. Peter Jacobson teaches health law at the University of Michigan.
The key issue is which rules will be removed.
A lot of new safety rules are being discussed. For instance, Jacobson points to one meant to keep more lead and copper out of water supplies.
It's been on the EPA's agenda for a major rethinking. And if that doesn't happen, that's equally troublesome for the safety of our drinking water.
Regulations are one thing. What about enforcement? EPA is being sued for alleged failures in Flint. Eric Olson with the Natural Resources Defense Council says lawsuits could be used to compel action.
What we can do is get the courts to intervene and order that EPA move forward with some of these protections.
The EPA did not grant an interview, saying it doesn't comment on pending litigation. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
More stories, as always, on Marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.